Outdoors. Here's tonight's host, V. Paul Reynolds.
Hey, that would be me. Thank you much, and we appreciate you being with us tonight on our outdoor program, Maine Outdoors, the best outdoor radio program in the state of Maine.
It certainly is.
It has to be, because it's the only.
It's the only, right, absolutely. Yeah.
Anyway, we have an exciting show lined up tonight. I'll introduce the studio guests in just a moment, but first the crew who make this possible each week. The engineer from Fields Pond, the man behind the gauges and toggle switches in there, Mr. Jim Layton.
Well, good evening, folks. Welcome aboard. Going to be a great show tonight. Might even get a yip or two out of you.
Yeah.
You might. And with him in the studio there is Norm Plord.
Good evening.
The sweetheart of Grand Lake Stream.
I might be pushing it a little bit.
And with him in there is, all the way from Germany, the mother of one of our guests, who I'll introduce in just a moment. Her name, though, we can tell you right now, her name is Ursula. And Ursula, welcome to Maine, welcome to the United States, and welcome to Maine Outdoors. Okay.
That was a thumbs up.
Now, I had one other person I had to introduce, Jim. Who was that?
Donka.
Oh. The esteemed co-host of this program week after week for the last 20 years, he's a registered Maine guide, a master Maine guide.
Fontanelles.
And he's, he's written a lot of books on fishing. We call him Mr. Trout, Bob Lehman.
I appreciate it. Thank you so very much.
Nice to have you here,
sir. Glad to be here.
Nice to have you, sir. Now, our guests in the studio, they've been with us a few years ago, but it's great to have them back. It always is. They are licensed trackers of wounded animals in the state of Maine. And they've been at this for a number of years, and they have a lot to share with us tonight. The first is Suzanne Hamilton, and she is a licensed tracker, a newly registered Maine guide. Susanna, nice to have you here.
Hi, Paul. Nice to be here.
And with her, to her immediate left, is her fellow lady tracker, Lindsay Ware. Lindsay, nice to have you here.
Thanks. Nice to be back.
And you've been on the track recently, too. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. And
with
her, too, a fellow who prefers to remain silent, her husband, Ben. Ben, nice to have you here. And, I will get something out of you before the show is over.
Ben,
I guarantee
Ben is
it.
Smart.
Yeah. Okay. We'll be talking to these ladies in just a moment. But, again, they're licensed blood trackers, and we'll be talking to them in just a few minutes. First, though, we want to tell you that if you'd like to be on our program tonight, we always invite you to do that. The number to call is
1-800-966-1039. And even if you're local, you have to dial a whole number, 1-800-966-1039. 1039.
Yes, sir. And you're listening to us tonight, in case you didn't know, on the Voice of Maine News Talk Network, 101.3, 103.9, and 93, I think it's 0.1, isn't it, in Rockland?
95.1 right.
In Rockland.
FM.
Okay, FM, all on the Voice of Maine News Talk Network. Right now it is time for Outdoor Digest, brought to you by the Northwood Sporting Journal and Maine Outdoor Publications. And as I reminded you last week, my partner Vic Morin wanted me to remind you, he's looking for somebody to be on his sales team if you're interested in a part-time sales job. It's a real opportunity, generous commissions, and we will train you. So if you're interested in that, give Vic a call during the week at 732-4880. You know, Bob, the Fish and Wildlife Department this week presented two gentlemen with the Outdoor Achievement Award.
Wow, that too.
Which is quite an honor.
It certainly is.
And I was supposed to bring the press release so I could remember their names.
You forgot it.
And I forgot it.
Too bad.
I can't believe I did that.
Well, maybe next week.
But maybe next week. Anyway, congratulations to those two gentlemen who were the recipients of the IF&W Outdoor Achievement Award. Tomorrow, big day tomorrow for bear hunters. It's the opening day for the Maine bear season, right, ladies?
Yep.
And you'll start to get busy, right?
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure you will. So anyway, the bear season gets underway tomorrow. The Youth Day has already taken place on Saturday. Now, Lindsay, I guess you did a little tracking, right, for some youngster?
Yeah, this morning. And actually, Susanna and I both went out last night, too, for the youth hunt.
Oh, did you? Yeah. And did you find the bear?
Yes. The one last night was still going, non-recoverable. But the one this morning we found.
Okay, very good. How long a tracking situation was it?
As far as distance?
Yeah. Time?
The bear went about 350 to 400 yards, and it took us a little while to, work everything
find
out.
Find the critter,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, good for you. Congratulations. That's
Thank
a wonderful
you.
Service you perform. And we'll find out more about that in just a moment. I think right now, I think it's time for Bob's favorite music. Is it not?
Oh. There it is. Hey.
I'm the big boss fast.
Yeah.
And you work for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is my rock.
Yeah.
Yeah. These are my reeds.
Yeah.
You guys are shameless.
It's timing, Bob. It's timing.
Well, we have fun, you know.
Yeah, you do.
What do you know?
Hey, what's going on in the fishing world, Robert?
The Bangor Daily, there was a survey in the Bangor Daily, if you noticed, this past week. I think it was Friday. That how many people have gone fishing this past summer and went a line. And the survey come out is just a little over 50%. Well, right here in the studio, we have some fishermen and maybe some not, but I'd like to take a survey right here. And have you been fishing, Suzanne, this summer?
Nope.
No, there's a no. And Lindsay?
Yes, I have.
That's all 50% right there. And Ben? Yes. And how about you out there, Jim? You been fishing?
You know, I've been watching a lot of people fishing.
Well, that don't count. Have you been fishing?
A lot of people catching.
I take that as a no. How about Norm?
No, Norm hasn't been fishing either.
That's one, two, three.
No. Norm has been fishing. He was up in Quebec.
Yeah, but that was back in June.
Yeah, but that was way back. And how about Ursula?
I actually went a line.
She did not go fishing. No.
No?
Okay, she did not go fishing.
I did wet a line.
And Paul?
Well, it has to have been the last month or what?
It's the summer. Summer months.
Oh, well, yes.
Summer months. So you're a yes
hands.
Then?
Oh. Yes, my wife paddled me around.
Absolutely.
Me too.
Absolutely.
So there is one, two, three, four, five, six yeses and three noes.
There you go. Yeah,
so that's what, nine? Well, that's pretty good. That's a high survey for summer fishing.
That is, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to ask one more quick survey.
So what's the point?
The point is that the news survey is off.
Okay. I'll buy
now,
that.
Let me run one quick survey about fall fishing.
All right.
Because I know this is
This will be the last survey, right?
Yes, this is the last survey.
Okay.
Yeah, because we have somebody
there's some diehards out there.
We have somebody waiting to ask you a question,
Bobby.
You plan
Bobby. To go fall fishing?
I'm sorry. I'm just not a fisherman.
Yeah, no. And no. Lindsay, fall fishing?
Sorry, in general or this past fall?
This coming fall.
Coming fall? Yes.
Yes, and Ben, yes. Ben's a yes, Jim?
Yes.
Norm's a yes, I know. Ursula's a no.
I'm a yes. I'm
Paul's
a yes.
Yes, and I'm a yes. So we got two no's and
80%,
eight yeses.
80%.
That's pretty good.
That is good.
That is very high.
Okay.
Because a lot of them are diehard, so I don't know about that.
Yeah. Okay. So what have we established here?
The point is that the news survey is off.
Oh, well, they're full of beans.
They certainly have been right along.
Well, okay. All right.
I knew that.
Okay. Is that the fishing report?
It is for tonight.
Okay. All right. That wraps up the fishing report on Outdoor Digest, brought to you by the Northwood Sporting Journal, unless Jim has something to...
No, we do have a fellow online with a question.
All right. Why don't we...
About fishing.
Let's take it right now.
Hey, go ahead, fella.
Good evening. You're on Maine Outdoors.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Hey, this is Blair from Maine.
Hi, Blair.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, I just started fishing in Maine, in Demerescata, Maine. I've been fishing right off the Demerescata River and right by the rocks. I'm dying to know if you guys know anything about, like, where to catch the best fish in Demerescata, Maine. Like, if you know anything about, like, where to catch stripers, blue bass. I don't know much about, like, where to catch them, but I'm going out tomorrow morning to fish. I am totally into fishing. Like, fishing is my thing. Hunting, I've never been hunting. I know you got to take a test to be a hunter, but to go hunting, it takes a lot to do it.
Let me tell you what to look for, okay?
Yep.
Okay, smallmouth bass right now. That's it, okay? Use a fly or a lure right now. And striped fishing is just about done, I think, don't you, Paul?
Oh, I think
that's
so,
it's pretty sparse right now, so you forget that pretty much. Yeah. I'd go for smallmouth bass right now in your Damascotta area there in the river.
Or Damascotta Lake.
Oh, lake, absolutely.
Yep.
Okay?
Okay.
So just for the bass, not for the stripers anymore. I got to wait for the first. So beginning of summer, stripers are out.
Yeah, early June's a good time to hit the stripers.
Yeah, June and July. Yep.
Hey, good luck to you, guy.
Yep, thank you.
Tight lines. Okay. That wraps up Outdoor Digest, brought to you by the Northwood Sporting Journal. I have a trivia question here, and if you know the answer to the question, we are going to give you a copy of my book, Maine Angler's Logbook. Last year, of course, we last week we gave away one of Bob's hand-tied flies, which is a collector's item.
Certainly is, yeah.
Do you want to share the question with us?
I would like to very much.
All right, why don't you?
All right. The question is, name three migratory birds that you can legally hunt without a migratory waterfowl stamp.
All right, you think about that. 1-800-966-1039. We'll be right back.
More Maine Outdoors next.
You know, every once in a while, the team that dreams up our trivia questions that we pay big money to, this big agency that does all of it, once in a while they'll come up a question that's just really a tough one. And I think this time, Bob, they've come up with a question that's just difficult.
Yeah. I didn't think it was that difficult.
Yeah. Well, anyway, if you can tell us the three migratory birds that you can legally hunt without a stamp, before the show's over, we'll mail you a copy of my new book, Maine Angler's Logbook.
Why don't we give them two right now and let them come up with one more?
Give them two?
Yeah, give them two out of the...
You are so easy.
Boy, I'm telling you.
Huh?
Old giveaway Bob
giveaway Bob.
How about snipe and rails or two?
You did it without even my permission. I can't believe you did it.
Yeah, but there's all still right. A couple more.
It's tough. It's a tough question.
I thought I was going to save postage on a book.
Oh,
all right,
okay.
Anyway,
well.
So if you can come up with two others...
Two more.
We'll give you a book. Okay, let's get out of business. We'll see how that goes with the phones and so forth. If we get a call, we'll take it. Let's get down to our guests who we're really pleased to have aboard tonight. Again, if you joined us late, our guests are Suzanne Hamilton and Lindsay Ware, both of whom are licensed trackers and registered Maine guides. They've been at this for how many years now, Suzanne?
Well, I started 16 years ago, and I have to real quick, though, mention that I loved your show last weekend. I just want a real quick mention of Paul House.
Sure.
It's such an exciting time of year for us. We've spent a little time up there. We just went to the lobster dinner up there, and Super Tracker with Turbo. Turbo is our grand puppy, actually.
Of your dog,
my
and Maggie
dog here. And I just wanted to tell you that it was really fun to listen to last week.
Well, we had a great show with him on, and he's a dedicated man. It's a wonderful thing he does.
He is amazing, and you know, when it comes to tracking, the fact that he's a master guide, it just brings another whole set of qualities to the table.
Yeah.
And we've mentored a lot of trackers, and he makes us real proud.
So, and he's up there listening probably tonight, huh?
Sure.
Great. We'll say hi to Paul and his whole crew. We have a caller standing by who may have an answer to our difficult question. Good evening. Are we ready to take a call? Good evening, caller. You're on Maine Outdoors.
Yes. I'd say snipe, rail, and woodcock.
Snipe, rail, and woodcock. Bingo. That's the right answer. Congratulations.
Very good.
Good.
You have won a copy of my book, Maine Angler's Logbook.
That's great.
All right. And if you'll stay on the line, Norm will get your address, and I'll have my office mail it right out to you tomorrow, okay?
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, and I'll leave it.
I've got a question. Do you know about sturgeon?
Sturgeon. They're an endangered species, aren't they?
We have them right here in the Maine rivers.
Right in the Penobscot River, I believe.
Yes, all the Maine rivers. Yeah. Kennebuck, Kennebago, all of them.
Well, I've seen them jump down in the Kennebec and Augusta.
Yeah.
And someone said the reason why they jump is to either get the parasites off from them or they're laying eggs, so the eggs will fall off of them.
Yeah, don't know. Good question.
You know what causes a lot of fish to jump? They get bumped by another fish.
Happens a lot.
And it gives them such a style.
What is your first name, sir?
George.
Okay, George, stay on the line so Norman can get your mailing address, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, congratulations, and thanks for listening.
Yeah.
Okay, one of the things I think we should do here at the outset, and either one or both of you ladies can handle it, I think there may be some folks here who don't really understand what a licensed blood tracker is or does. Can you give them just a little brief understanding of that?
Sure. We recover, we we are dedicated to the recovery of large game, for hunters. How do you say that?
Just that. That's what we're dedicated to. We use our dogs, and so that's, I guess, the other piece of our dedication is to our dogs, to training our dogs and watching them work for this, and at the same time being able to help out our hunters and help out conservation efforts.
Well, it's a wonderful thing you do, and I'm an old hunter, old deer hunter from way back, and there was a time we didn't have folks like you. And nobody wants to wound an animal, but it happens. And when it does happen, it's so nice to have a resource they can go to, like you folks, to find that animal. And what's your success ratio? Do you have any sense of that, roughly?
Well, I success is measured by more than just finding the animal. I mean, we probably run between 30% and 50% success rate at a time. We end up probably 35-40 maybe at the end of the season, somewhere in there. But also, we probably have a 90% recovery rate to 95% recovery rate if you count that we can give someone peace of mind that the animal is still going.
Right.
It's more than likely not going to die. It's not going to die today.
Yeah.
I think just the fact that someone can go home and go to sleep at
night. There you
night,
go, sure.
You know, yeah, it's yeah. worth a lot.
Yeah. Did you start the tracking program in Maine? How did that come about? What was the impetus for it?
I started the year it got passed in the state of Maine, or the year after. There was one or two people who did a little bit of it. I think they still have a good name. They were into it. When I got into it, I have to say I got but maybe 3 calls the first year, and then I got maybe 8 calls the second year, and then it grew. And between actually building a network of trackers, Lindsay was my very first deputy here.
Oh, was she really? Yeah.
Yes, and she's been working the Maine Sportsman shows, and we've mentored other people, Scott Klontz in Southern Maine, Paul House and Turbo up in Northern Maine. We have so many calls that it's crazy now. Come deer season, we don't sleep.
Is that right? You get really more than you'd like to have?
I have to turn down, unfortunately, a lot of calls.
Do you really?
No.
Mm-hmm. No kidding.
Yeah.
Well, apparently the word is getting out then.
Yeah, I try not to, but we at this point, you know, we don't no longer take the call that comes that says, I lost a deer 2 days ago and we've been out there with 5 people searching for 2 days. We can't do it. We wear our dogs out, and we screen calls. We'd like to help everybody, but there are, after an interview, we get a pretty good idea if these animals are going to be mortally hit or not. We try to help people recover an animal that is actually recoverable, because that is the one that should go in the freezer. It should not become coyote food.
Right.
And that's the part of conservation where, you know.
Do you live in the same area?
No.
Close to each other?
So no, not there, super close.
Are there a maximum amount of miles you're willing to drive to do this? Is there like a perimeter from where you live? How does that work?
I think for both of us are pretty similar in that it depends on the season and what's going on. So during bear and moose seasons, we know that we need to travel a little bit more for those species.
We've driven 4 hours for a moose.
We've driven
bear.
Very far
for really?
Moose and bear. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're also not as busy during those seasons because there's just more deer, especially November deer season. There's just more hunters out there.
Sure.
So we can't travel as far because we don't have time. But during the moose and bear seasons, we tend to travel a little bit more. Just because we can, also because that's where the calls are, kind of further away sometimes. So,
is your tracking dog, Lindsay, also a dachshund?
I have 2 tracking dogs right now. Yeah. One, my younger dog, he's 1.5 years. He is a German wire hair dachshund, and he's actually Susanna's dog, Buster's great-great-grandson.
Oh, okay.
And then I have a black lab, and my more experienced tracking dog, Gander, is a black lab. He's 8 years old.
So it doesn't have to be a dachshund, right? Could be.
No.
Yeah. And are most of the tracking most of the trackers in Maine using dachshunds, or are they using all kinds of different?
I think it's just by the fact that we are all friends and we watch each other's dog, and they're very, very fun dogs to track with. They're like weasels. They go underneath brush, and no human should actually ever go through, and deer do. So
when they get dog tired, you can carry them out, and you couldn't do that with a big lab.
Exactly. It actually saves the dog, because you take carry the dog out, and by the time you get in the car, get the next call, they're ready to go. Yeah. They're like little jumping beans, you know, go right
back
up.
One time I tracked with you, I carried Buster out. Remember
yes,
that?
Yes. You wouldn't want to carry him out now.
No,
he gained
really.
A few pounds.
Me too. Okay, what about, you learn so much, I'm sure, by the more experience you get, the more you learn, obviously. Have you found that there are, I don't mean to be controversial, but I'm sure there are situations where you see unethical shots being having been taken.
Oh, we see so many, unfortunately, and I try not to take them anymore, but it breaks my heart, and sometimes I do just because of the animal. For example, it's become the new fad to shoot a deer in the neck or in the head. It's all over the internet, over Facebook.
Is it? Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, Maine Deer Hunters or, you know.
Okay, we're going to take a short break. Hold that thought. We'll be right back. You stay with us, folks, and if you have a question, you can call us at
1-800-966-1039.
You stay there. We'll be right back. Okay, we're back with Maine Outdoors, and we're talking to licensed blood trackers Suzanne Hamilton and Lindsay Ward. Lindsay Ware, excuse me.
Ware.
We were talking just before the break, Suzanne, about the problem with unethical shots taken on big game animals.
Yes. Yes. And I just mentioned Maine Deer Hunters because that's one of the sites I really enjoy going to. And there's so many wonderful, wonderful hunters. But recently it seems to be a fad growing that to shoot a deer, say, in the head or in the neck. Now, if you shoot a deer in the neck, if you don't get the spine, you pretty much just get a large patch of muscles and you're not going to get a lethal hit.
Right.
You can bleed like crazy. And it's sort of like dying of a nosebleed. It's not going to happen.
Right.
The other thing is the headshot. That's the worst for me because, the brain is only yay big. And we do these hit sight seminars. You can blow a deer's jaw out. All you have to do is miss 2 inches because it moves. This animal is going to suffer a horrible, horrible death.
Yeah.
And I always say, if some of these people... It's true. If you get it in the brain, it's going to drop right there and you don't have to track it and you can just drag it out. But if you don't, if people would see some of these animals that we have tracked that we could not catch because their legs and organs are still perfectly capable of running away from the dog.
So the bottom line is don't do it.
Don't do it.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Yeah.
If they would see what we have seen, they would not ever take that
shot.
Well,
I've been hunting deer all my life and I hunted a lot of deer and I love deer hunting. And I would never do that because I know the odds.
Yes.
And I just don't do it. And being a bow hunter, you know that if you get them double lung shot through the lungs, you're going to kill it.
But you'd be surprised how many people try. I had one last winter that said, oh, well, I read that, people were so happy that they didn't have to track it and it would just drop right there. Yeah. And the animal, I tracked it for 3 days. The animal covered a 200-yard first day. 200-yard area on a hill that I know it covered the entire hill because we find little blood drops on every square yard of that hill, and my dog just ran spaghetti circles for hours up and down this hill. We eventually found sort of in a direction it had gone, but then we found fresh blood because we couldn't catch it.
Yeah.
It died. It died of starvation and dehydration.
Yeah.
And
okay. Let's switch gears a little bit here. And again, if at home, if you agree or disagree or have a point of view, we welcome you to share that with us here on Maine Outdoors at 1-800-966-1039. Lindsay, you've already started tracking, and you were involved in a bear tracking situation with a youth hunter over the weekend. Saturday was Youth Day for bear hunters. What happened there?
Well, this morning we went out on a call that was from yesterday from the youth hunt, and we got called about 10 a.m. this morning by a family, a really great family of hunters that asked me to come out, and it was actually pretty close to my local area, so I went out this morning, and it was starting to get really warm, and warm weather is not the best for scenting conditions, so we try to get out there as soon as possible and attract that bear for the youth hunter, and ended up finding it. The bear went about 300 to 400 yards, made a really funny turn, a really strange 90-degree angle, and so they were very, very happy. We never would have been able to find otherwise because of the lack of blood. The only problem, it's kind of a sad story, actually. Another bear had actually eaten the meat from this bear.
So bears do eat bears.
They do, yeah. And but the thing I have to say, though, is that we don't see it very often.
Is that right?
This is the first time I've ever seen it to this extent. Yeah. There was no meat left.
Yeah.
Mm. It was pretty incredible. So
yeah,
it was pretty incredible. And
how do you know it was eaten by another bear? By tracks?
Well, you know, I guess I don't really know for sure. We see a lot of, I won't say a lot, every year we see coyotes that have eaten deer. Yeah. And to me, it just looked a little different than that. And this is such a high concentration of bear area. And bears we believe bears are more likely to eat other bears, where coyotes, even though we've heard it can happen, it's less likely because they're going to avoid the high bear areas.
So was the youngster disappointed?
I think he was disappointed, but at the same time, you know, that it was a big learning experience, and it was, I think he understood that,
that's
a risk. Yeah, and that's a risk when, you know, you have to wait. The thing is, something that we, in this family was really great, and they went down to track the bear yesterday evening, knew that it was really difficult. They couldn't find any blood. And so they're like, okay, let's back out. Let's go in the morning. So when they went in the morning, they ended up finding a little bit of blood and had trouble and searched around quite a ways. And they had never had a tracker with a dog out there before. So they didn't know, to call earlier or to call the night before or something like that. So it was just a good kind of opportunity to be like, you can call us that night if you need to. We always recommend that people call as soon as possible if they think something's a little bit off, even if they just want to ask us questions like, do you think I should wait till the morning? Do you think we should go out
right
now?
So don't hesitate to call early. That's
the point,
right?
Yeah.
And coincidentally, which they didn't know, but we literally we drove very close by there last night at midnight from the other track and could have dropped in and
Will a bear will your dogs track a wounded bear that doesn't leave a blood trail?
Oh yes,
just from the scent, right?
Yeah, there's a lot more scent other than blood that dogs are going on. So an animal that has been hit has a certain amount of adrenaline and just like a scent that is different than a normal healthy animal.
And dog can figure that out, right?
Yeah, and bear actually often, they can bleed a lot or they can bleed not at all because they have so much blubber that they'll close up an entry wound, exit wound.
Yeah, tough tracking situation usually with bear. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, for the dog, it's pretty easy.
Yeah.
They stink.
Yeah, that's great. One of the things I'd like to do here, I guess we're supposed to do a commercial break, right? Pay the bills? Yeah. Can we just forget about that this week?
Your call. It's your call.
I guess we better not. What we're going to do, folks, now stick around, folks. Don't go back to that Red Sox game because they're going to lose it anyway. What we're going to do after the break, after Bob sells a little stuff here for you, we're going to do a little play acting here. Bob Lehman is going to impersonate a deer hunter who's just wounded a big buck, and he's going to be interviewed by Suzanne Hamilton because this is what these ladies do. When you call up, they want to try to figure out what the circumstances were, right?
Yes.
Okay. So after we do a commercial break then, Bob, you can be the deer hunter.
All righty then.
I never wounded deer, so I wouldn't.
No, of course not.
Go ahead. What's going on here?
Gentle Appliance and Brewer, that's the place to go for your camp appliance needs, whether they are gas lights, gas ranges, gas refrigerators, gas freezers, or top-of-the-line compost toilets.
Ride the wave, baby.
You know it, baby.
What does that mean?
Ride the wave?
The wave. Those compost toilets are the wave of the future. So
there you are.
Oh, right out of the wave. Oh, I could never. I've well been said wondering for well 3 years what that. After I thought it was a dirty joke or something.
No, no.
After last week's show,
yeah.
I understand the General Appliance has been swamped with calls to have their people were calling to get their appliances repaired.
Good.
And they all ask for Andy. Because, as you know, he's the magic man.
He's the guy that can fix something just by looking at it.
Absolutely. That's what he did for me.
What a repairman.
Yes, I'm kidding, of course.
Yeah.
But, no, I'm not all the way kidding, because that's quite Andy's quite a man. They're happy to have him over there. So in these changing energy times, General Appliance is there to serve camp owners with new and no electric appliance needs. And they also, as I said, compost toilets. And compost toilets will mean no running water, no plumbing. Did you know that, Paul?
I know, yeah.
And no septic to be pumped, and no field. What are those leach fields?
Very comfortable.
Very comfortable, and no environmental problems.
That's right.
And well, no mosquitoes.
And always warm.
That's the big thing.
You guys have sold me. Oh, I'm going to run. I'm going to tear my toilet out and go get a compost toilet for the camp.
Well,
and the number to call is to find out all this business here.
989-3714.
That's exactly right. Thank you very
right
much.
Right up there.
You got it.
All right.
Thrones fit for royalty.
You bet. General right. Appliance and Brewer, they sponsor this program, and we urge you to patronize them as we do.
And they have been our sponsor for the length of the show, and it's the only sponsor that we need. That they said so. Isn't that great? And they also...
Oh, the only sponsor that they need.
That's right.
Oh, I thought, yeah, okay, yeah.
And they also sell our books.
Yes, they do.
Our books, my books. And they got a big display over there, so go and pick those up as well.
You bet. Pick one of mine up, too.
That's what I just said.
Oh,
yes.
Okay. Okay. All right. Okay, good enough. That's a great commercial. Good job. And I'm sure Al will be happy with that.
Yes.
Okay. Let's get down to business now. What we're going to do is recreate a possible situation here. One of the things these ladies have to do is they have to try to figure out by talking to the hunter, what happened, so they can make a decision on whether they're going to actually take the case or not, right?
Yes.
Suzanne?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Bob Lehman is going to call Suzanne and tell her about a big buck that he wounded. So here goes the phone. Ding-a-ling-a-ling, ding-a-ling-a-ling.
Hi.
Hello, Susan?
Hi. Yes. Hi.
Yes. I understand you follow deer trails, but somebody has downed one?
I am a blood tracker, yes.
Wonderful.
Yes.
I'll tell you what happened.
Did you hit an animal?
This morning up in Greenfield,
yes.
My friend and I have downed a big buck.
Okay.
And we hit him in the forwards with two times with a 30-30 and once with a shotgun. The deer went down on its forwards and got up and took off. It's a massive buck.
It's a massive
and he went up over ridge and out of sight. We waited for at least a half an hour.
Okay.
And people, as usual, somebody told us to wait, and so we did. But we couldn't wait any longer, so we got after him. We followed the trail for quite a ways, maybe 100 yards, and he got up and took off again. And another hunter hit him twice more with a shotgun on the side of the hill, and he said all the deer did was run his tongue out, but he never stopped. He kept on going.
Okay.
Well, we followed him for another half a mile anyway, and he got into a bog, and we lost him there.
All right.
Do you still want to track him?
Well, Bob, you are full of information that I didn't even have to ask, which is fantastic. Now,
the callers aren't usually
I do get these calls, which is great. I could barely follow up writing all the information down so fast. But I will let me reiterate here. 30-30 shotgun, at what distance did you shoot?
Oh, I'm going to say 50 yards.
50 yards. What's the rifle sighted in at?
30-30.
Yeah.
Oh, what's it sighted in at? What range?
Probably 100 yards. 100.
Okay. Okay. So, and were you standing high? Were you in a tree stand or were you on the ground?
It was a straight shot. We were walking down a tote road. And the deer crossed in front of us.
All right. And did the buck stand still when you shot?
Sure did. Turned right around, looked at us, and stood there as we fired twice.
You got broadside. You got a full broadside shot.
Right in the forwards.
Yeah, right in the forward. And he went down on his front.
He dropped right down on his forward haunches, yeah.
Did he more haunches in the back. So he dropped down on his knees.
On his knees, absolutely, yes.
Yeah. And did he limp when he went out?
Well, it was brushy there, it was hard to tell, but he just took off like a shot.
And then
once
you,
he got up on his four feet again, away he went.
Okay. Did you guys follow him instantly, or did you give him some time?
We waited a half an hour.
Half an hour. You said that.
Yep.
You already said that. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So when you pursued him, did you get spots where... My dog is getting anxious. She knows what an interview sounds like.
Yeah, you can't see it at home here, but Maggie is getting all torqued up here.
Yeah.
She thinks something's going to come down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the blood trail, is it a pretty steady blood trail?
Oh, heavens, a lot of blood.
A lot of blood. Do you have
a lot of trailing type blood, you know?
Do you have a lot of like places where it might have stood and dripped and made big
puddles? There were pools of blood, several places.
Okay.
It didn't go down, though. It stood.
It stood,
and dripped, and then took off again. Probably heard us coming. I don't know.
Yeah, probably did. Mm-hmm. So if every time you had a pool of blood and it dripped, did the pools get a little smaller as you went along?
Didn't notice that.
It's still blood.
They were pretty big pools. I mean, they were 3 or 4 or 5, 6 inches across.
3 or 5, 6 inches across.
Yes.
That's not yet a big pool of blood. No. We've seen actually a couple of feet.
Oh boy!
On pools of blood.
Well, the last pool before he went into the bog was at least a foot across.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when the other two hunters shot at this deer, did they think they made contact with this deer?
Oh, definitely. This guy that shot him broadside on the knoll with a double barrel shotgun hit him twice broadside. He said within 25 feet.
How did he act when he hit him?
How did he act?
Yeah, how
he
did
ran
the
his
deer
tongue
act?
Straight out, he said.
Oh, really?
And bleated.
Okay.
And then he went. He hardly even stopped.
Okay. And how long has it been now? That it was this morning?
It was early in the morning.
Okay.
And we trailed it till almost noontime.
Okay.
And then we went back to camp, and somebody told us to call you.
Okay. And the total distance was a half a mile?
I'd say roughly.
Okay. I would definitely
come
out for
that. Could be a little more.
I would definitely come out and help you with that deer.
That's great. That's wonderful. Yeah. You think you're in the bog? Can you trail through a bog?
Absolutely trail through the bog.
No kidding.
Yes. That's
not amazing.
A problem. And really, with the injury that this animal has, a half mile is not that much, especially if you let it sit for a little bit. We're going to know in the next half mile what we have.
You know,
if this animal actually wants to lay down or... You know, if you have, you didn't find any bone on the hit side. Did you? Did you search your hit side thoroughly?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I will take this just because you've only gone half a mile.
Well, thank you. Yeah. If it had been longer, you would have turned it down?
No. Oh, if you go 4 miles on this and it slowly fizzles out bleeding, I'm probably going to turn it down because you've already done all that could be done.
Okay. Well, then you think that this deer is retrievable?
I'm from the information that you have, I only give it like a 50-50.
50-50.
Yeah.
Hmm. All right. Good work.
How'd I do?
Excellent. You both get Academy Awards, right?
Did you catch it on the real story? Did you end up finding him?
Did you find him? In Greenbush, Maine? No.
You never found the deer?
I never found the deer.
And he was an old rauncher, right? An old cronker?
His horns was, well, they're not horns, they're antlers, were so big they were webbed, Paul, and that's no kidding.
Yeah. You got to be
in
kidding.
In places
me.
They were
this
webbed.
This is not just a big
it's
story?
Not a, this is a true story. This is not a big dream, I'm telling you.
But it's also important to know that this does not, that's why I say 50-50, wouldn't you say, Lindsay? Mm-hmm. Where are you on
50-50.
This?
50-50.
I think for me, the fact that there was additional follow-up shots
makes it that we want to come out.
Make it like we don't know exactly, you know, what is going on for each shot. So we want to go and check it out for sure.
Yeah. The front shot is very likely just a lower leg.
The first
front shot
sounds like a non-fatal hit or maybe a leg
brisket
hit.
Or something in the sort. But the follow-up shots can easily go further in the middle of the deer. And if you have that, then I come out so many hours later and it will have bedded. And then we can tell so much more about it.
This is really fascinating. I'm beginning to, even though I spent a day with you tracking that wounded deer up in Old Town, I didn't realize how you guys are really kind of like detectives. You're into forensics.
Oh, totally.
This is fascinating.
Yeah,
you guys must love this.
We just did a seminar. New Hampshire Deer Tracking put up a seminar.
I would go to your seminar.
Poor Lindsay, she was sick that day. She was supposed to be there.
Yeah.
But we went And she did the last seminar with us for the New Hampshire blood trackers, mm-hmm. for new trackers. But we just were invited by the New Hampshire game wardens to do a forensic seminar.
Were you?
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Pretty awesome. And that's an educated bunch of people.
Yeah.
They set up stations that mimic certain situations.
Yeah.
And they have to kind of use detective skills to figure out
what
type of hit is from the evidence that we place down. It's really neat.
Yeah. Well, it's obvious you guys are getting very respected around New England for what you do. That's great. Do you have any idea collectively how many tracking situations you both have been in since you started doing this? Any idea? I mean, how many a year do you do?
I do approximately 100 a season.
Do you?
Yeah.
Mostly deer?
I actively track about 100 animals a season, and of those I get 10 to 20 that are bear or moose, and then the rest
of deer.
What's the percentage of success?
I said that earlier. You can only find them if they're dead or if they're mortally wounded. We are licensed actually to dispatch an animal at night, which is why we take night tracks. We are licensed to do that.
The hunter can't, though.
The hunter can't, but we are licensed to dispatch. So we do take night tracks, and we often dispatch.
You
at
do
night.
Dispatch mm-hmm. the animals, yeah.
Yeah. So if it's not dead or mortally wounded, we cannot find it. If it's got a muscle wound, how do you gauge success? You know, again, I gauge success when I can say to my hunter, look, we've tracked this animal for 2 miles. It slowly fizzled out bleeding. We get the occasional pin drop. It's never bedded down. It's never let us see it. You can go and rest assured that you will see that animal again, or maybe see it again, or it's going to survive this, and you can actually go hunting again.
I think there's probably success or satisfaction in knowing that as a hunter or the tracker, you did everything you could possibly do. Mm-hmm. That's worth something,
and
right?
That's a lot of what we do.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's important.
Yeah, like the little boy we tracked for together last night.
Mm-hmm.
We went and we took every effort. We stayed there for 2 hours. We tracked, we retracked, we tried again. We made sure that this animal was actually a miss, and that was fine. And we could tell this young man that it was a miss. And I said to his dad, he's a fine man, he's also a guide.
Yeah.
I said, it's so neat nowadays where the trackers are available that he doesn't have to teach his son, like we learned in a hunter safety course, to go out for the next 2 weeks every day in the woods and scour the woods and look for crows.
Yeah.
And that deer, that bear was not wounded. So we can give someone peace of mind tonight.
That's great. Yeah. What if somebody hires you now? Bob hired you. Bob's a little closer to the buck. But if he hired you, would you charge him? Would you bill him for your services? How's that work?
We take donations.
You don't mind me saying you're a little closer to the buck, do you?
No, not at all.
No.
Just like you.
Like me, right? Yeah, we're both close to the buck.
I think it's a good feature.
What are you laughing about, Port?
It's good entertainment.
Oh. Would you charge, bill him, or how's that work?
We take donations.
You do take donations?
We take donations towards gas money. We know
you're spending a lot of money on gas. And
we do spend a lot of money on gas. We spend a lot of time. If you were to pay me my hourly wage in my real job, it probably wouldn't be doable.
Yeah.
But we have some people who are very generous, and then we have turned down money at all on a person we knew just really couldn't, it comes out in the wash.
Yeah,
and we know that we feel to the most part that people appreciate our service and will try and treat us well.
Okay. In the short time left, if somebody wants to get a hold of either one of you or any other licensed trackers in Maine, what's the best way for them to do that? If they're at home now listening, they're a deer hunter, and they want to make sure they know how to get you. Numbers? You want to put out numbers?
Let's just say they can always look us up at unitedbloodtrackers.org. That's our organization's website. However, Lindsay here goes through great trouble every year making phone calls. She gets the list from the Maine Inland Fisheries and Wildlife, and then we make phone calls, and she mostly makes the phone calls these days, to find out who actually wants to be actively tracking for the public.
Okay.
And then we post this we post this list of numbers on Maine deer hunters, Maine moose hunters, Maine archery hunters, expanded archery, Maine expanded archery.
Why don't you let me have that list so I can publish it in the Sporting Journal?
That would be great.
I'd like to work. Can you provide that?
I can provide that to you, yeah.
Can you do that? Yeah. Okay, we'll make arrangements.
Yeah, so people only just need to go online on one of these Facebook hunting
like
sites.
Yeah, they're like social media sites that we usually post it. But yeah, and anytime anyone ever requests one from me, I can send them a list.
Are we running out of time, engineer?
We're about half a minute or so.
About a half a minute. Okay, so anyway, unitedbloodtrackers.org is the website, and you'll be able to read the listing in the Sporting Journal, I hope. This is a great service you provide, I think part of the challenge, I know there are hunters that don't know you exist. I found out about that. I was talking to a guy in Westbrook the other day who wounded a big buck, had no idea he could call you guys.
Yeah, we are getting busy. And last year, for the first time, I think I had 60% of my calls within a half-hour radius of my home. And that is unbelievable. Wow. That's during gun season.
Yeah.
You know, again, right now, Lindsay and I, we travel. We love to travel. Actually, we travel together a lot. We track together a lot. Our friend Paul, Paul House, he travels. We come watch him track. He watches us track. We have a Scott Clons. We have a great community of trackers here.
All right, great. Anyway, we commend, hats off to you guys for the great things you do, and good luck this fall. Now, Ben, it's your last chance to say something on the radio. All right. Okay, and good luck to Ursula. Enjoy your stay in the United States. All right. And next week, Carrie Kish will be our guest, who has written a new book on hiking. And we'll see you all next week right here on
Maine Outdoors.